and gentlemen, welcome into the Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast bringing you lineup construction ideas for the MLB DFS slate upcoming on FanDuel. I am your host, Sean Kane, and it is Thursday. We've got two slates today, early slate and main slate. You know, the thing is I'll break down both. Main slate is far more interesting. 8 games on the main slate, only 3 games on the early slate. So if you're playing over there, good luck. I did not break it down. I turned my attention to the main slate. And frankly, the main slate has a lot to really love here. So a lot of interesting spots for us to look at here on the main slate. Really kind of littered, to be honest with you. It's going to be one of those nights, I think, where you see some really competitive scores, because dingers are probably going to come from a lot of different games. There's going to be a lot of different spots to target with bats, you know, and when it's a night like that, pitching wins. Pitching is going to win. So you got to find your spots and make sure that your pitcher isn't the one who's getting roughed up. Before we go too far, a couple things. One, if you haven't already, patreon.com/lineuplogic. We're adding to the community. Welcome aboard to new patrons. We've added a few patrons here in the month of June. So certainly pumped to have some new guys on board. You know, and I think the best part is man, you know, guys are friendly. It's the community, right? So shout out to those joining us. Zach, Stultz, Kevin, Calhoun, you know, Matt joined at the beginning of the month. So it certainly is certainly good stuff. Really, really pleased to have guys jumping in here for the month of June. And you know, I want to continue to get the community growing. And in fact, if you're thinking about jumping on board, or you're interested, or you want to, hey, what is this cheat sheet like, by the way? What is this all about? Friday, we are going to, we'll do like a free cheat sheet happy hour. So Friday around 5 o'clock, we will release the cheat sheet via Twitter and let y'all dig into that and get a feel for what the cheat sheet looks like and how you can use it and that kind of thing. And, you know, I mean, it's just kind of, you know, one of the ways that we like to, you know, share the love and help people out. And it's been great, man. We got some new people in there in the community over there on Patreon. So shout out to all the new members in June. And hey, shout out to some of the old members. Shawnee B last night, loyal Lineup Logic listener, and been with us since the start. Had a nice night over there in MLB. Scott, similarly, took down 2 100-mans. Well done, my friend. And old NBA friend, playing MLB now, Matt, tweeted at me earlier, and he had some serious rake last night, too. So really good stuff, man. It was really good to see those guys cashing, getting in there. That is always the reward, you know, of doing this, is when you guys get out there and make some money, so you can have a little bit of extra bankroll. Couple things I got to talk about though. If you're not following my man Josh Fernandez, Fern is locking in. He's locking in for the summer here. His so you got to get over there and follow Josh Fern. He's been tweeting up a storm. He's really on to something and identifying pitcher trends and stuff. And it's been crazy. And if you're not following Casey Bogislaw, MLB Barrel Alert, get over there. Casey has been a real help to the show. Get over there and follow him. So just a lot of really good information out there to be aware of as we go into this stretch. Cause listen, the NBA Finals is fucking over. It was over when it started. It was over. It was over when Kevin Durant said, "I'm going to Golden State." And let's just talk real quick. One, everybody who was hard on LeBron for complaining about his team, you know why he was complaining. And that was the thing I said. He's complaining because he knows he can't beat the Warriors. He's like, God, man, I'm going to have to go all the way through this season, and I'm going to get to the finals, and I'm going to get smoked by the Warriors. He knows how good Kevin Durant and Steph Curry are. He knows how good that defense is, and they're so good. Guys, it's just going to be Warriors, 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 Warriors forever. Warriors forever. They're going to be like the, in this mountain in the bay, just untouchable for a long time. You know, I heard Adam Silver this halftime, you know, Michelle Beadle was like, listen, this is like, this is, you know, this is a dynasty. And she was trying to keep it real. Like, this is a big deal. Like, this is, there's no parity. And Silver was like, well, that's suggesting the talent is static. I was like, no. Okay, Adam, here's the problem. It's not the talent is static. It's that you have the best players, some of the best players of the modern era, all on the exact same team, and they're not going to get worse. They just keep getting more experienced. They just keep understanding how to read the defense better. They keep understanding how to play with each other. They get more playoff experience. They just get better. And LeBron is just going to get older. And, you know, as much as him and, you know, Kevin Love fought like hell last night, and he played a really good game. In fact, I was really impressed with him. And Kyrie. Kyrie had a really great game. But, God, man, the rest of those clowns, you can't – that's not going to win. They would have won a lot a couple years ago, but not now. Not now against the Warriors. So, anyway, NBA is over. It's over. Turn it off. Come on, let's watch baseball. Let's watch baseball, man. The baseball is wonderful, and let's do it. Let's jump into tonight's slate, and let's talk about the games we have on the main slate this evening. All right, so we're starting up the night here in Baltimore. Or no, Baltimore, not Baltimore, D.C. Baltimore, Washington. This is like a rain makeup game, an in-betweener. Baltimore coming off the Pittsburgh series. Washington coming off the Dodgers series, and we're going to get Alec Asher and Joseph Ross, because these guys aren't continued. Washington has Texas this weekend, and Baltimore has the Yankees. So this is like a makeup game here. 9.5 runs projected with Asher and Ross. Nats are favored. 5 runs projected here. Interesting, certainly an interesting matchup, you know. Both of these pitchers have really struggled lately. And, you know, this is basically a lefty fest. So get your lefties ready, because both of these guys get hit by lefties. Boston, New York, 7.5 runs projected here with David Price and Michael Pineda. Pineda is the slight favorite here. And it's primarily got to be because I think the Vegas believes that the Yankees offense just has more teeth than the Red Sox offense. But and I happen to agree with them. This game, I just don't see it being very fantasy viable. I really don't. I, you know, last night, God, I knew the Yankees were going to hit Porcello. I fucking knew it. And they hit him, and they hit him hard, and they hit him out of the game, and then they scored 8 runs. And that lineup's just dirty, man. And David Price has been good. He came back and pitched a gem in his return. You know, and he's David Price. He's this very, very solid starter. And gosh, they need him right now because, you know, Porcello just, that's not a Cy Young winger. That's not a Cy Young winger. I don't know how he did it last year, but that is not, he just gets hit way too hard. And that fastball is just way too easy to clobber. I mean, it's a good fastball, but it's just, if you can hit fastballs, that thing's going. So it's, you know, it's good to have Price back, but here's the thing about this game. Price's numbers are very solid, but this Yankees team is just too dangerous against lefties. And on the flip side, Pineda has been good. Like, his numbers are clean. He's been great, but we've it's really hard to trust him. Okay, we know he gives up homers, and the BVP against him that the Red Sox, just take a look for yourself. Go find the BVP versus Pineda, Boston versus Pineda. It's real. It's there. It's no joke. So You know, I don't know. It's a tough spot. It's definitely a tough spot. I'm not that interested in it from a fantasy perspective. Miami at Pittsburgh, 8.5 runs projected here. Gerrit Cole is the favorite in this one versus Edison Volquez. And, you know, I guess they're not thinking that Edison Volquez is going to throw another no-no. I don't know. Who knows, man? Well, no, he's not going to. In fact, they've liked Pittsburgh for 4.5 runs in this one. Yeah, it's an interesting spot. The Pittsburgh offense has been kind of up and down, up and down. And I could see myself getting interested in some Frazier here. Adam Frazier's pretty much the only guy that I'm interested in that leadoff spot. He continues to be relatively solid for the Buccos. You know, and Volquez, no. I mean, Volquez is not going to continue to shut people down. all I'm going to say is that I'm glad Pittsburgh isn't on the day slate, because every Thursday that Pittsburgh is on the day slate, it seems like the Pittsburgh stack just smashes. So I don't know what it is. But yeah, and Gerrit Cole, man, he's been getting crushed by left-handers. So certainly have some interest in the Miami lefties. And yeah, I think we got to look at it. And God, I wish Justin Bour was not on the DL. Oh God, Justin Bour. Why aren't you playing? White Sox Rays, 8.5 runs projected here. Derek Holland versus Jake Odorizzi. Odorizzi's got a one-run favorite in this one. And, you know, one of these pitchers is going to spin a gem, and one of these guys is going to struggle. You know, Odorizzi is not as good against righties as he should be. In fact, his splits are kind of even. Holland, on the other hand, has some pretty lopsided splits and gets smashed by righties. He's good against lefties, though. So, it, you know, there was a part of me that was saying, like, interesting, Holland against the Rays, all these lefties. But then, you know, I'm looking at it. I mean, you got to get through Souza and Longoria. And those two alone create an issue for Derek Holland in the middle of this lineup. So, you know, it's complicated. This one's going to be interesting. I think one of these guys is going to get shelled, and one of these guys is going to spin a gem. Vegas thinks it's going to be Odorizzi, and I just don't buy it. His last outing against Seattle was a disaster. And the way he gets hit by righties, I mean, it's just kind of like you could target those reverse splits and get massive leverage here with some low priced White Sox. It's kind of the best part about the White Sox is they go so cold for so long, their prices go back down, and then they go get hot against lefties, and you know, you get a chance against them. You get a chance to stack them. Philadelphia, Atlanta, 9.5 runs projected here. Edward Lively versus R.A. Dickey. Lively is one of the Phillies' top prospects here. He is, interestingly enough, Philadelphia is implied for more runs here, but Atlanta is favored. They're 114 favorites. Strange. I'm not really sure. So basically, let's say this is a pick'em. Okay. Lively is interesting. There's some of the write-ups say this guy's just a very solid all-around pitcher. No holes in his games, all that kind of thing. You know, the K rate isn't that. It's not that great. You know, there's some things to him that are certainly interesting, and you know, we'll see what he does. But, you know, he gets quite a few lefties, and this offense is pretty hot in Atlanta. You know, they've had a couple really, really big numbers that they put up recently. So I think we can go to this game. Vegas likes it, so I think we can look at that game. Colorado-Chicago, 8.5 runs here. Tyler Chatwood versus John Lester. Lester favored here in this one. But this line is going to be moving around. It just came out. I'll be interested to see where it settles this afternoon. You know, and I think that what that is basically a respect for Chatwood and concern about Lester. He's gotten smashed in his last two starts. Now, Colorado's numbers aren't that great. And compared to the two teams that smashed him, they're definitely not that great. So, you know, I think that we can look at Lester in this situation and kind of trust that he should be okay. But man, this is why I'm saying, guys, if you get the pitching right on this slate, you're going to be great. Which it may just be this simple. It may just be Lance McCullers all day long. And it's Houston, Kansas City. That's the next game. 9 runs projected here. Lance McCullers is actually the heaviest favorite on the slate going up against Jason Hamill. He is only 9-7. Honestly, on a slate like this where all the other pitching is kind of sketchy, McCullers is going to be just chalk. Chalkity chalk chalk. Chalk chalk chalk. And that's fine because you don't really want to take too many risks here. I mean, I think people will try to go to Price. They'll go to Pineda. People will definitely look at Lester for sure. And, you know, for the lower price guys, I don't know. I think people are going to try to get a go to Odorizzi or maybe even, you know, maybe even Chatwood or even this Lively character. I'm not sure, but McCullers is far and away the best option on the slate. And Vegas agrees, 187 favorite here in Kansas City in this one. So certainly want some Lance McCullers in my life tonight. We'll talk about him. 9 runs projected in the last game of the night. That's Minnesota-Seattle. Kyle Gibson versus Christian Bergman. And this is the battle of the gas cans, Bergman versus Gibson. Both of these guys have some pretty rough numbers. You could definitely see some balls flying. This series has been high scoring and quietly really, really, really worth it. And, you know, I was into Sano last night. I had some Sano and he went yard. And then eventually the Seattle bats took off. You know, and Kyle Seager is red hot, by the way, you guys. He really is. Without Cruz in the lineup, Kyle Seager's been that big bat that they needed. So he's really, really turning it up, and it's certainly a good spot for him against Gibson here. All right, that is it. Those are the games. Let's go ahead and jump into the player breakdown and figure out who we love on this main slate. Who do you love? Okay, so starting at the top, look, we got to talk McCullers because it's easily the best option. 9-7, Kansas City. Vegas likes him. He's got some of the best stuff on the slate. It's simple, guys. 28% K rate, 12% swinging strike rate, 7% walk rate, a 61% ground ball rate. Go ahead, Lance. That's great, man. Sierra XFIP, both below 3. Kansas City has been trending in the right direction. They are not swinging at everything. But even last night against that fill-in pitcher, they really couldn't put up the runs. Okay, they have guys who can hit righties, sure. Moose, Sal Perez, Hosmer has been hitting for average, not really power, but average. No one smashes the curveball, though, and that's where McCullers just beats people up. Filthy curveball, one of the best in the league, well above average according to PitchFX data. So, boom, lock them in. You and 40% of your friends will also do the same. But I have no problem with it because there's really no reason to take that L. You know, I mean, you're basically neutralizing yourself against the field with that massive ownership. And you're saying, fine, we all have the same guy. Who gets the bats right? You know, so then that's where you try to get your edge and your advantage and your leverage. You know, if you want to pivot over to Lester, I can see it, okay? But he's only $200 less expensive than McCullers. So it's kind of like, what's the point? Okay, he's at home in Wrigley, Colorado on the road. Obviously, this is fine, okay? Park downgrade for the Rockies. And their offense against left-handed pitching has been pretty meh, okay? Pretty average against left-handers on the year. But very below average of late in the last 30 days. The hard contact rate is only 26% with a team ISO of 119 in the last month. That's San Francisco Giants bad. That's literally their comp. They just aren't hitting the ball that hard. Their righties have cooled down significantly. You know, Mark Reynolds power surge and, you know, Ian Desmond. They're not hitting hard and they're not good on the road. Lester, he has a 23% K rate, a 10% swinging strike rate, 8% walk rate on the season. XFIP and Sierra are both below 4. And I say that because they're 3.7 and 3.9, which is pretty high actually for a guy who's 9.5. he hasn't been really amazing lately. St. Louis got to him. The Dodgers smoked him. You know, the thing that I like is I guess this is his second start in a row at home. He's been, like, settled into a home schedule now. Maybe he gets a little bit of rhythm. He's been comfortable. He's been, you know, the Cubs have been playing well. It's cold. There's some things in his favor in that respect. The issue is that in those games when he got shelled, no one was swinging at anything because he wasn't locating anything. His swinging strike rate was down or 7 or 8%. And it was because only about half of his pitches were inside the zone. He just wasn't actually putting stuff in the zone. That's concerning. That's concerning. And maybe that was strategic. Maybe he got the yips a little bit, wasn't trying to hit the zone because guys were hitting it, trying to get him to chase a little bit, get ahead in counts, or take advantage of bad swings. I'm not sure. The thing about it is that I'm just not scared of the Rockies right now. I'm not that worried about them. And we know Lester can go out there and get 10 Ks. Last time he did it, by the way, was against San Francisco. We talked about how Colorado comps with San Francisco right now is a pretty below average offense against left-handed pitching. Well, here comes Lester, who his last solid outing was against San Francisco. So, you know, you want to take this risk. I think that people will be, my guess is he'll be at about 10 to 15%. You know, I think that people will be okay with him against Colorado. And listen, if you at that price, all he has to do is score more than McCullers. Can he score more points than McCullers? Maybe, you know, maybe he's picking off runners left and right. I'll be interested to see if Colorado just starts just running and tilting him like that. I'm not really sure. All right. The other question that you got to consider is Michael Pineda versus David Price. Now, David Price is 9-5 right there with Lester. Pineda is 8-7, I think it is. 8-7, 8-5, 8-8, 8-2. Wow, that's a great price for Michael Pineda. In fact, that's probably a spot that people will go to because they love the price. And I agree. I like the price for the K upside, especially against an offense that really has, like, looked lackluster. The Boston Red Sox just aren't... The only things that are really exciting about this offense right now is Mitch Moreland. And, you know, Hanley has not shown up anywhere. Mookie Betts can't hit the broadside of a barn as far as power goes. There's just no power in this lineup. But they don't strike out. They don't swing. They stay disciplined. You know, but last night they got completely skunked. They put up a zero. So Pineda is in play. The issue that I have is that... The BVP is so bad, and I know, you know, hey, BVP, you know, a lot of people don't look at it, but we're talking about, you know, and this, okay, fine, this is, you know, maybe this is last year's BVP, but we're talking about, okay, anywhere between a 4 to 6 game sample size. Mookie and Mitch Moreland both have 2 homers against him. Xander has a homer against him. A lot of these guys are batting over 300 as far as WOBA goes. You know, it concerns me. It concerns me. And that's the problem with Pineda. I mean, Pineda can get shelled. He got shelled by Toronto. You know, he can go out there and get you 35, 40 points. But he's going to give up a home run because he pretty much gives up a home run every single game. And sometimes he gives up 2, you know, and their K upside, is it there? Not really. I mean, he hasn't had more than 7 Ks in the last month. And that 7 Ks came against Houston, which is impressive, but I don't know. Pineda is risky, and Price coming back from the DL. This Yankees offense is just, they have too much power against left, too much right-handed power. His numbers are fine. I understand it. They're very similar to Lester's, in fact. But he's bringing a 36% hard contact rate into Yankee Stadium in his first start off the DL, or second start off the DL. Ugh. You know, I mean, this is, if there's somebody who's going to hit him, it's this team. It wasn't, you know, Baltimore, terrible against lefties this year. They swing at everything. The Yankees are not that team. So, I mean, they do strike out, but they're just, they hit the ball really freaking hard. So I don't know. I'm not really touching those pitchers, and I think people will. I'm just go to McCullers. It's so much more easy. I think the other one that people may go to is actually Tyler Chatwood. And the appeal of Chatwood is his ground ball rate, a 57% ground ball rate. And that plays nicely against the Cubs. I mean, you throw a righty against the Cubs, you know, even last night against a really, really subpar righty in Urena, it took him a while to get it going. It was Schwarber who really started to rope the ball. And it was, you know, kind of in the second half of that game, Ian Happ opened things up, but KB didn't really do much. Rizzo didn't do much. Zobrist and Hayward barely got on base. You know, this lineup doesn't really have a lot of teeth sometimes. You know, and unless Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo are going yard, then you kind of are okay with starting pitchers against the Cubs. Chatwood, like I said, elite ground ball rate, excellent batted ball profile. And his K rate is solid too, 20% plus. The issue that you worry about is the lefties. I mean, he gives it up to teams with a ton of lefties, and that's where you see his numbers really go up. And a team that stacks the lefties against Chatwood, he's going to struggle. A team like Seattle, Washington, the Dodgers, these are the teams that shelled him. These are the guys who gave him the early exit. I mean, think about those rosters. Seattle, ton of lefties. Washington, the best lefties in the game, more or less. And the Dodgers, the same thing. They shell righties. So, you know, what they did earlier this month, and that's when they started against them. So teams that have lefties, they're going to get to them. So you're going to see a lot of lefties in this lineup, you know. And if you see, you know, John Jay and Ian Happ and Schwarber and Rizzo all up there, then Chatwood is a little bit concerning. But, hey, if you want bats, this is your guy, I think. I think this is probably, by the numbers, one of the safest guys that you can go with. All right, let's talk bats, in fact. Let's see if we need to actually go down and pay for a cheap arm in order to get the bats that we want. I think the stud stack starts, basically there's two. You know, it's kind of a wash. I don't know which one I prefer, but the Nationals versus Alec Asher are in a really good spot. This line is literally moving, like, actually as we speak. People are hammering over five runs for the Nationals here. It started the morning at like 4-8, and now it's at 5-1. The Nats against Asher, definitely in play. Asher, pretty below average in everything across the board. He gives up more fly balls than ground balls, 1.4 home runs per nine, XFIP and Sierra, both above 4.3. He's been worse on the road. All those numbers get a little bit worse. And he struggles with right-handed bats, you know, even in addition to the left-handed bats. He can't get them out. You know, the lefties are obviously showing the power, and the righties, you know, I'll take one through four. You know, I think Bryce obviously is... Bryce and Daniel Murphy are obvious, right? And I think people will go to them. If Brian Goodwin is up there because he's replacing Jason Worth or Michael Taylor, whoever's in that top of the lineup there to fill in for Worth, I'll take him too. They're cheap, and they profile pretty well there. Zim, also in a really good spot. His power does not know splits. Like, he hits everything. So I think, though, I want to talk about, Daniel Murphy. Daniel Murphy might be my favorite second baseman on the entire slate, and I hate second base, so I'm going to be having a lot of Murphy tonight. He, you know, first of all, 3.7 for Daniel Murphy is a really good price. I realize he hasn't been very hot recently, but that's a really good price for him. He's going back home, and he just profiles really well against Asher's pitch type. He hits everything that Asher throws. The slider, the change, he'll hit it. The curve, he can hit it. So the one thing I do want to say about this game is you may see a goofy lineup because this isn't the full weekend series. So, you know, and everybody's been traveling. They had other series. They may just throw kind of watered down lineups out there. Pay attention to it. because you may get some weird lineups and some cheap value. And it doesn't mean that these pitchers are good. It just means that, you know, you may be able to get some cheaper bats up in the top of the order that are in a good position to succeed with the stack. So, you know, in the same game, the O's are in play, by the way. I don't want to overlook that. I mean, they've been pretty hard to predict. I got to be honest with you. Trey Mancini, double dong. Yeah, okay. We all saw that. God, I was like, come on, Seth Smith. Why? Why last night and not tonight? Ross, though, Joe Ross, he's getting shelled by lefties. His last two starts, his hard hit and his fly ball rate are both above 40. And his wOBA to lefties this year, I believe, is... It is really bad. Yeah, 372 to lefties. He's very good against righties, but 372 to the lefties. So, I mean, go back to Seth Smith and Chris Davis. They're going to hit him, I hope. You know, they've been really hard to predict, but they're heating up. Adam Jones, well, no, excuse me, they're not heating up. Adam Jones is heating up a little bit. He's been pretty solid lately. And we know he hits righties pretty well. So those are the three Orioles that I'm interested in here. If I'm interested in the Orioles against Joe Ross, who, you know, he has been getting hit and his numbers are pretty bad right now. So certainly have some interest in some O's maybe in a couple spots if I can squeeze them in. The other one that I think a lot of people are going to be interested in is Houston versus Hamill. And I think this is an obvious spot just in name value, and people will be like, oh yeah, we're going after Hamill. Hamill earlier in the year was a total gas can, 5-6 runs and a couple different starts. Here's the deal. I don't know if I see 5 or 6 runs coming from Hamill tonight. In fact, I could see Houston hitting this 5 total on the head. You know, Detroit had a 5 total last night, too, and I was all in on, not all in on them, but I had them, and they were just depressing and tilting, and I was tweeting about it. Here's the deal with Hamill. He's actually outperforming his ERA according to his barrel FIP. Yes, he's getting hit hard. Yes, it's in the air, but he's not getting shelled in the way that you might want. He's only got given up 3 earned runs over his last 3 outings, more or less, okay? And 2 of those starts were against New York and Detroit. And those are teams with really solid right-handed bats. I mean, those are teams you put right at the top of the right-handed, you know, caution. He only gave up 3 runs to each of them over 6 innings. I mean, and it wasn't like it was 3 runs in 4 innings or something. It was 3 runs in 6 innings. He got through those lineups. You know, I think that I mean, I like Houston here. They've been unbelievably good lately. They've been so consistent. Reddick and Altuve profile very well against him. And obviously Correa has a team high 232 ISO, even versus righty. So, you know, he is absolutely in play. I think the one guy that's kind of in a sneaky spot here is Yuli Gurriel. He smashes sliders, and that's actually Hamill's secondary pitch. It's been good, but, you know, Yuli gets to it. That's his pitch. So I have no problem with a little Yuli Gurriel perhaps here in this spot. You know, the other guy is Brian McCann. So, you know, maybe if Brian McCann and Yuli Gurriel are 6-7, you get a little salary relief, a little bit of exposure for a little bit of leverage. Those are guys that are likely going to go low owned versus the top of the lineup. So I'm not going to go bananas with Houston like I do sometimes. I think that I may have some Houston, you know, but they're definitely in play against a pitcher like this who has an elevated Sierra for sure. All right, let's look at the Grout stack, some places where you may be able to get a little bit of cost savings. You know, one game that Vegas really likes is this Atlanta Philadelphia game, and I think, you know, with good reason. You've got R.A. Dickey versus a rookie guy coming up from AAA and Ben Lively. You know, Dickey, he's given up a 350 wOBA to both righties and lefties this year. So I don't love the Philadelphia offense. I mean, they got totally shut down last night by Fulton Nevich. What does that tell you? You know, I mean, it's the Phillies are still, we can still target them with pitchers in the right situations. So Do I think that they're going to hit R.A. Dickey? No, not necessarily. But if you look at the BVP, because you'd have to, because he's a knuckleballer, you got to see who can actually hit this. It's basically just Michael Saunders and Herrera. So two cheap outfielders who actually will probably be in, you know, the top half of the lineup. I could get into Michael Saunders and Odubel Herrera. They haven't been absolutely terrible. And they've proven that they can hit Dickey. So I will take them as cheapies, as one-offs, or maybe a pair there. The rest of the lineup doesn't really hit him. And I'm not going to necessarily play with, you know, a really, really, really cold offense. I thought maybe they'd be heating up here, but it just doesn't seem to be the case. Philadelphia will be pitching Ben Lively, right? Okay. He's actually really interesting just in the way he's got a lot of control. He's got a very solid profile. Nothing is extraordinary about him. It's hard to get a read, though. Like, there really doesn't seem to be any holes in this kid's game. 20% strikeout rate, 10% swinging strike rate, WOBA allowed, not very high. You know, walk rate is depressed. He doesn't have control. Like, he doesn't have any issues. Like, you look at a guy and you're waiting to see, like, where's the flaw? Where's the hole? He just doesn't have them. He's limiting his damage. He's very average in a lot of spots. You know, that said, he is a rookie against the Braves lefties, and the Braves put up 14 runs last night. I mean, this offense can do damage, and I think that if you want to go with the Braves, you know, it starts with Enciarte and Adams, 1-5, and then you can pick somebody in between, whoever you want, you know, Markakis or Kemp or Phillips, one of those guys. You know, don't touch the bottom of this lineup. Just don't do it. But, you know, the nice thing is that even once Atlanta gets through, once they get, you know, through with Lively, if he, you know, pitches a gem, fine. They have the ability to get to the Philadelphia bullpen, which is really, really bad. So, you know, we saw that last night. They just got absolutely destroyed. You know, they were winning and then they just blew up. That's where Adams hit his home run, actually. So, you know, the Atlanta stack is certainly in play for that reason as well. The game that I think we have to make sure we pay attention to is the Seattle-Minnesota game. And in fact, you know, it stood out to me because you look at I always look at, you know, the barrel chart for, I look at the barrel chart for the day tweeted out by Casey Bogislaw, and I look at the bottom immediately because I usually know who's going to be up towards the top, who's pitching well. But towards the bottom, man, two names in the same game. And it's Christian Bergman and Kyle Gibson. And those are the starters who have two of the highest barrel rates on the slate. Gibson has 6.7 and 6.4 and Bergman at 5.8. Neither one of these guys is striking people out. They're both walking people too much. 14% strikeout rate for Bergman, 15% for Gibson. Gibson is walking 12% of batters. Bergman walking 9% of batters. They're both bad, okay? They're both really bad. Both of them have xFIPs and Sierras above 5, all right? So let's talk first about Kyle Gibson and the Seattle bats, okay? Gibson allows 39% hard contact. And interestingly enough, even though he's a righty, the right-handed bats and left-handed bats are getting to him, okay? So let's figure out who's leading off. We'll take him, whether it's Heredia or Gamel. My thought will be it's Gamel. Danny Valencia has been playing very well. Robinson Cano is pretty cheap right now. And Kyle Seager, man, like give me Seager. He has been excellent of late. And you know, I think he homered again last night, if I remember correctly. I know Zunino hit a double dong. But Seager has been excellent. Yeah. He's back-to-back dongs in this. He's locked in, man. This guy's locked in. He went 2-for-5 in the first game of the Minnesota series, and then had a hit last night, and a solo shot. So certainly a really, really, really nice spot there. Seager's is kind of going overlooked in a well-priced third baseman at 3,500. I love that price point there. You know, I don't know if Nelson Cruz is going to be in the lineup. He keeps coming in and out. I think he's going to be out again. There's just no point the way this team's playing right now. They've been playing well even without him. So we'll see. He could get another day off against Gibson. So, you know, Gamble, Cano, Seager. Those are the three lefties that I like. And I think you add Danny Valencia just because he's been in the top of the order and he's been hitting well recently. And he's pretty well priced, and you know, he's got a 340 WOBA against lefties, you know, even as a lefty, and you know, he's been very solid lately, and we know that Gibson does give it up to righties as well as lefties. So definitely interested in those guys. And Bergman, you know, like we said, he's just as bad. you know, and the Twins have kind of been, they've been okay. You know, it's the classic characters. It's your Sanos and Dozier. It's Sano and Dozier that are pretty much it. You know, so the numbers are almost identical to Gibson. He doesn't get the K's, and he gets smashed by righties. So, you know, okay, fine. Dozier and Sano right off the top. Boom. Give me those two, you know, and I think about Grossman, you know, he torched me last night. Before that, he was playing really well. But he torched me last night. I had Grossman in a good spot, thinking, you know, he might show up, as the DH, but he did not. But he was hot before that, man. He was really hot before that. So, you know, he hasn't gone too many games back to back where he hasn't gotten a hit. You know, earlier in the season, it was a little bit concerning, but he's been very good recently. So I think we could go to Grossman as well as a third bat if we wanted to there. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on the lineup, but it's definitely Dozier and Sano. And Sano, you're paying for him. You know, the question is okay, third base, I got Sano at 4-2. I could get Kyle Seager at third base for 3-5 in the same game in a great matchup as well. So, you know, that's a toss up here, you know, but Dozier I love at 3-4. So it's nice. You have Dozier and Murphy. I'm probably going to be going Dozier, Murphy, and Cano pretty much everywhere, at second base. So that's nice to be able to have those guys locked into a position that sometimes just, you know, you don't love. All right. If you want to pivot, I think, okay, first of all, Miami. All right, let me talk about Miami because I'm very confident in Miami. Then I got to talk about the White Sox and the Rays game because I'm trying to get a read on it, and I think it's a challenge. But Miami is in a great spot. Gerrit Cole has given up, I believe it is 7 home runs in his last 3 starts. I was wrong. 8 home runs in his last 3 starts. In back-to-back games against the Mets, he gave up 3 in each of those. And guess what? It's the lefties, okay? He's getting smoked by lefties. He's Chad Kuhl. He's doing his Chad Kuhl impression. And so we got to go to the lefties here. And alas, 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 Justin Bour is on the DL. Okay, but Christian Yelich is still here and with us and priced at 3-4 and will not get a lot of ownership. I'm sure of it. So I think it's D. Gordon and Christian Yelich for me, you know, and those guys have been playing really well. You know, they have, and they smack right-handed pitching. And you look at the numbers. I mean, D. Gordon doesn't smack right-handed pitching, but he doesn't strike out that much, and he has a 320 WOBA, and he's, you know, a leadoff batter. That's pretty nice little spot for him. And so Yelich, though, 322 WOBA, 121 ISO. The thing that you love about Yelich in this spot is that he actually has pretty serious BVP against Cole as well. So clearly he feels comfortable there. So I like that as a one-off. I think that Miami goes under owned in this situation. You know, so does Pittsburgh, though. You know, Pittsburgh, this game will go overlooked just because it's ugly. Nobody wants Miami-Pittsburgh. These offenses are not very sexy. So I think that there's leverage in that game for sure. You know, whether it's just Frazier and Yelich, basically, those two lefties, I could definitely get behind that. The game, though, that I want to talk about that's kind of hard to get a read on, and I think, you know, Vegas is telling us that Chicago is going to struggle against a righty here in Odorizzi. I don't know, but one of these dudes, you know, at first I was thinking one of these guys is going to have a great game. One of these guys is going to get hit. Okay. And I've been watching this series lately, and these offenses both kind of look meh, to be honest with you. They're swinging at everything. All right. Jake, Odorizzi has a 20% K rate, 11% swing strike rate. XFIP and Sierra at 4-5. Very average, right? Issue is that he's outperforming. His ERA is below his Sierra and his XFIP, right? That indicates that there's a gap, a talent gap there. You know, this could be a good spot against the Chicago right-handed bats, right? You think a righty against Chicago, that's a great spot. The issue is the splits. He kind of gets hit by right-handed bats. In fact, 42% hard contact rate to righties here. So I kind of feel like this is a sneaky spot for some righties here in this spot. You know, Holland, on the other hand, you think the Rays have a ton of lefties. Okay, let's go get some Holland, because he's actually, you know, been decent with his numbers. And the Rays, they've been one of the worst offenses in baseball against left-handed pitching in the last month. A 63 WRC plus and a 28% K rate. Here's the problem. Holland gets shelled by righties, like destroyed. 43% hard contact, 45% fly ball rate. He just got raked over the coals by Detroit. There was that three-homer game. Holland just got destroyed by the righties. So you have righties who can hit. So you can't really start him. Can you stack the Rays? No, you could go to the righties, you know. So I think it's what it is in this spot, is it's the Rays righties of Souza and Longo, you know. Just that's it. Because I'm not touching, you know, Tim Beckham and Ricky Weeks have really, really struggled lately. I've been watching them, and they're just swing like. Beckham was ahead in a count against Quintana the other night. He was a 3-0. Quintana had already walked the batter in the inning. He had no control. Everything was spraying outside the zone. And Beckham fucking swings at two pitches that were both like under his hands. And I'm like, what are you doing? He let the pitcher right back into it. And luckily, Quintana couldn't locate the fourth pitch, locate the next pitch, and it hit the dirt, and he stayed off of it. But, I mean, the plate discipline from the Rays has just been brutal lately, absolutely brutal lately, and the same from the White Sox. I mean, Jacob Faria last night, you know, looked excellent. So, I don't know. These offenses are scary, but I think you can get some leverage here, maybe Longoria and Souza, and then even like a one-off of, you know, maybe an Abreu or Cabrera or Avisel Garcia. Avisel Garcia certainly cooled off. But Matt Davidson also, by the way, he's cheap. 2-5, that's a great price. And I don't know. I mean, if there's somebody, let's see if any, who stands out against the righties? It's, you know, I mean, Avisel Garcia is fine. Leroy Garcia is fine. Matt Davidson is fine. Those guys aren't the worst against righties. Their strikeout rate is pretty bad. And in fact, Matt Davidson's strikeout rate is almost unplayable. It's 50%. But, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's who you would go to. You would go to Avisel Garcia, Matt Davidson, and where's Abreu? There he is. Yeah, Abreu. Yeah. He's fine. 300 Wobo. That's who you'd go to. Davidson and Avisel Garcia. And they're cheap. They're cheap, actually. So that's kind of nice. If you want some leverage, I think there's leverage in that, you know? Stack Chicago, Tampa Bay, and Pittsburgh, Miami if you want some leverage there. Eesh. You might get you could get some leverage, and you could end up being a very unique lineup because you only scored 40 points. All right, that is it for the player breakdown. Let us jump in to a quick bit of lineup construction, figure out if we can throw together a lineup for you guys for this evening so you get a sense of how lineups are constructed. The thing I always say about lineup construction time is this is an idea. You get a sense of how pieces and parts fit together. So let's jump in here. All right, so this is actually pretty interesting, and I was able to do something. So long as I have two solid punts, I get 2 3-man stacks that I really, really, really like. So I think there's upside here, especially if we can find a solid punt catcher and one punt outfielder, who right now I'm penciling in is Brian Goodwin in the Washington lineup at the two-hole. But we'll see what we get. So laying off Lance McCullers, obviously not going to, not messing with that. It's Lance McCullers. I'm going to pretty much try to build around McCullers all day long. And then I went to that 3-man of Seattle lefties that I was talking about. Gamel, Cano, and Seager. They're just really well priced and they have a great matchup here. At home. So Gamel, Cano, Seager, boom, 1-3-5, hopefully. That's a great 2,900 for Gamel, Seager, and Cano, both 3,500. Very solid prices. And then I was looking at first base, and I got to get my man Yuli Gurriel in there. So I went with Yuli, and I tried to, I committed to the Houston stack then. So if I went with Yuli, and Yuli's probably the sixth batter, so I had to go back up the order. So I went up to Reddick. Obviously, he's going to be in the two hole, and then Correa's in the four hole. So, 2-4-6 in this Houston lineup, and you get a pretty solid amount of power as well as and as well as exposure to that whole lineup. So 1-3-5 from Minnesota and 2-4-6 from Houston. That pretty sexy. So I mean, like, I have my entire infield covered with Yuli Gurriel, Robinson Cano, Kyle Seager, Carlos Correa, Josh Reddick, and then outfield Josh Reddick and Ben Gamel. Well, $2,100 left per position. And obviously that is enough. I mean, if you get lineups that work, then you find one punt catcher I'm slating right now as the Baltimore catcher because I know Wellington Castillo is still on the DL. And maybe we get a goofy lineup here because of the, middle, like kind of in-betweener game. So Pena maybe. Get in there for us. I think that the other guy that you possibly have is the Pittsburgh catcher because Cervelli's on the DL. So actually, yeah, I mean, we could absolutely go to Elias Diaz, who will be in the Pittsburgh lineup because I forgot that they put Cervelli on the DL. So there you go. You have a punt catcher. Now you need a punt outfielder. And I slated it as Brian Goodwin, who is projected right now to be in the projected right now to be in the Washington lineup as a lefty fill in for Jason Worth. They're platooning him and Michael Taylor, so we'll see. Hopefully, he is. It could be John Jay. I mean, I have no problem with John Jay. He's a lefty. He may be in the lineup against Chatwood, and he's pretty effective as well, and he's pretty cheap. You need a punt catcher and you need a punt outfielder. At 2,100, those price points. And I think, I do this a lot. Boog Powell, by the way, also possibility. But you try to get an offense that you like, or you try and go up against a pitcher that has a problem, or with your punts, basically. You're going against a terrible pitcher or you're going towards the top of the order. And one of those two things, increases the upside of a player that, doesn't have necessarily a lot of upside. So I like this lineup quite a bit. McCullers, Elias Diaz as a punt catcher, Yuli Gurriel, Robinson Cano, Kyle Seager, Carlos Correa, Josh Reddick, Ben Gamel, and Brian Goodwin. Feels very solid. I'm going to save this one. I'm not going to mess with it because it worked out really well. I'm pleased with it. Good luck in your contest, guys. That's, I think, a good starting point for tonight, but there's a lot of spots that you can go to. Do me a favor. D.D. Gregorius. That's all I'm going to say. D.D. Gregorius. All right, good luck in your contest, and I will see you mañana.